Good morning. So yeah, last week, Jenny started this mini-series of sermons about welcome and the importance of welcome and the theology of welcome. And she spoke specifically, about the welcome of Jesus. Now, we are called as Christians, when we make that choice, to follow Jesus, to be like him as much as we can, when we can. He is our exemplar, our role model. And he came to us here, where we are. He came to live with us, to share with us, to suffer with us, to spend time with us. When we choose to follow him, when we come to that decision, that life-changing decision to make Jesus our Lord, we choose to do the same thing. We choose to look outward to each other, outward to other people. We choose to be more loving, to be more caring about others, to be sympathetic and empathetic, and to be generous with our time. And for some of us, myself very much included, to be courageous in our relationships, to tackle shyness and awkwardness, and at the bottom line, to put other people first. Now, some of us have a gift for this. Now, let me give you a strange example. And this is because I've been listening to this over Christmas. So Bob Mortimer is an interesting and incredibly funny man. He's one half of the very successful 90s, I think, comedy act of Reeves and Mortimer. His comedy is so gentle, but so surreally bonkers to be jaw-droppingly funny. I am a huge fan. Now, if you've not seen his contributions to the TV panel show, Would I Lie to You? I strongly recommend you do. It is nuts how funny he is. Anyway, I was listening to his autobiography on audiobook over Christmas. It was a very good listen. It was, of course, very funny. But it was also moving and deeply authentic. Before he was a comedian, Bob was a solicitor for several years, and quite a successful one. He didn't enjoy it much, though. He had a tough time when he left home in Middlesbrough to study at university, first in Leicester, and then at law school in Manchester. He was surprisingly, painfully shy and quite lonely. A few weeks into his course at Manchester, Bob writes this: I was approached by a small, friendly Scouse lad called Paddy. I was still in the habit of wearing my Middlesbrough football tops at the time, and he must have put two and two together and asked me if I would be interested in joining a law school football team. Of course I would. Paddy was one of those unique, charming and confident lads that has the ability to bring people together. They are like manna from heaven for shy people. It's such a simple act of compassion to approach someone on the fringes of things and try to bring them in. As you can imagine, I knew I was going to be preaching on welcome in January. And hearing that line, it's such a simple act of compassion to approach someone on the fringes of things and to try and bring them in, really struck home. It switched a little bit around my understanding of welcome. It is a simple act of compassion, of compassion. Now, some of us will be like Paddy, and be good at meeting new people, and be looking to bring people in. These people, these people, and some of them, I know some of these people in this congregation, are precious, so, so precious to us. And those of us who find it difficult are incredibly grateful to those people. It is important that we continue to recognize and cherish those people and help them to develop their gifts. By the way, practical point, if you feel you have a gift of simply talking to people, or you know someone who does, please let Jenny, me, Rachel, anybody in the ministry team know. But those words, a simple act of compassion, moved me. I'm not one of those people. I am naturally much more like Bob than I am like Paddy. It may be weird to think of that, me standing up here talking away, but I am not like Paddy. With some exceptions, I am not great at approaching people in social situations. There's air quotes there. Social situations. My wife, Lynette, will enthusiastically tell you of the many times in the past I have cried off sick or some other pathetic excuse for not going to a party we agreed to go to weeks ago. I am just not good with small talk and strangers. I sometimes get into a right panic about it. Not so much these days. I used to get terrible about it. Once I get to know a person and I get a bit more comfortable, I can, I am told, be quite fun to have around. And I must say, I have worked hard over many years, and I think I am now ever so slightly better at the whole gig. But I still find the simple situation of meeting new people difficult. Or even meeting people I have met before, but I haven't met for a while, difficult. And the challenges that Jenny raised last week worry me. Some of you will be more like Paddy, and while some of you will be more like me, you poor people. But we are all called to try to be more like Jesus in how we love other people. It is how we were designed to be, how we were created to be. This is key. We're not being asked to be something weird and unnatural. We are being asked to push past some barriers that we have and be more like Jesus, more like we were designed to be. It is how God made us to work best. It is our mission too. All of us have this task given to us by God. But, and this is what I'm going to talk about today, as we meet other human beings, individuals who come to us, for example, in our church, we are surrounded and enabled by the Holy Spirit. This is important to remember. When we welcome people, when we talk to people in church, we are on his patch. We are on his manor. Both in the big picture, which I'll come to in detail in a minute, and in the very moment when we are speaking to someone. The Holy Spirit is in the room. The Holy Spirit is standing next to us. In the passage from Romans, we heard from Paul that God had given him a priestly duty. He was to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, a minister to strangers, to foreigners, proclaiming the gospel so that they might become sanctified by the Holy Spirit and an acceptable offering to God. This is the big picture. The goal, the end game, is that people become acceptable to God. This is what is at stake. The big picture, the Holy Spirit, is at work. He is at work in our church changing lives, transforming people. It is what makes us as Christians and in our faith different. It is ultimately what makes church and our faith community important. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit within Christian communities that makes them holy. And the importance of this cannot be overstated. It is historical. It is universe-shatteringly important. And that means a huge amount of weight on this situation. Church is not a social club. We are not inviting people in to the football team. The community of Christ is profoundly and supremely important to humanity. And to each and every one of you, of us, each and every human being out there in the world. Encountering Jesus is the most important event in our lives, by far. I tell you now, it is the encounter that defines me. Paul knew this. He knew that his ministry was proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, in Karl Barth's famous 1918 commentary, in 1918 words, even though he was German, translated in 1918 into English, on Romans, he writes the following about the theology of Paul's priesthood to the Gentiles. That it addresses itself to the concrete, visible, historical, particular, specific person in order to teach them that they are the one invisible, unclothed person standing before God. That is what the mission of Christianity, which is a missional faith, is about bringing people to stand in front of God, to tell people who they are, and to tell people who God is. It is the most important task there is, and the proclaiming of the gospel of God is what we are doing in this church, in Letchworth, in 2023. It is what Jenny, Rachel and I try to do when we stand at the front here and speak. But it is also what we are all doing when we meet people in this place, when we meet people as Christians. How we encounter people as they enter our church community, how we welcome them, is part of our mission. It is a very big picture. When each one of us speaks as a member of his church, his or her church, our words are wrapped around the most important truth a person can know. We put a frame around Jesus Christ. We are opening a door into God's kingdom. We are part of the presentation of a choice that means the difference between slavery and death and freedom and eternal life. We are all, each one of us who tries to follow Jesus, all of us charged with this mission of loving other human beings, of showing that love by helping them meet with and grow closer to Jesus Christ. Now, understandably, evangelism often has a poor reputation. But we must remember it is not box-ticking or score-keeping. It is not harassment, brainwashing, TV evangelism. It is not coercion. And it's not about popularity or fame or money-raising. It is not superficial, and most of all, it is not self-centered and selfish. Evangelism is, in fact, an act of sacrificial love, a reaching out to others, a putting other people first. And it is deep and profound. When Paul is talking about the Gentiles becoming an offering acceptable to God, he is not talking about a conversion experience. He is not talking about an emotional thing. Paul's goal for evangelism, says Tim Keller in his shorter commentary than Barth on Romans, is complete life change. People, Tim Keller writes, have not been evangelized until they have ceased to be their own masters and become joyful servants of the Lord. Complete life change. Again, this is the big picture. How we meet people at the door, how we talk to each other after the service, how we encounter strangers in the name of the church, in the name of Jesus, these moments are deeply important. We are offering them salvation and the opportunity to meet and know Jesus Christ. So what about us? What about people like me who are not good at meeting with people? Is it all heavy, bad news with lots of responsibility and lots of worry? Well, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in again, in the moment. Now, imagine you've been coming to church for a number of months, maybe years. You feel at home here. And then you see someone you don't recognize. See someone whose face doesn't quite, I don't know if I know that person. Well, let me be distressingly honest about how I tackle that in my head. Oh, someone new. I don't think I remember seeing them before. I don't think so. I don't think I've seen them before. I hope someone else talks to them. Oh dear. It looks like no one's going to talk to them. They look a bit nervous, a bit uncomfortable. They're edging towards the door. Why is no one talking to them? Now let me be really brutally honest. At this point, there is probably a 50% chance that I might look for an excuse not to talk to them and go and talk to somebody else or have something I need to do. 50%. I know it's pathetic. But what I do try to do is this. Breathe a deep breath. Relax. Ask the Holy Spirit to help me and say something banal and silly like, "Hello, I'm Martin. I don't think I've met you before." And I take all that risk that Jenny mentioned last week of maybe I have met them before. I take all that risk that they don't really want to talk to me and they really want to just be alone. And I leave that up to the Holy Spirit. I leave that up to God. And here's the thing. I don't get it right even then, a lot of the time. I can still forget a name. They can have told me a name. I forget by the end of the conversation. I ask a silly question that doesn't make any sense. It can't make any sense. I fumble for words. I don't know how to end the conversation. All these things are happening in my head, and probably some of it's happening out loud. But I also know when I have time to take stock and think about it, that I'm just helping. The Holy Spirit is doing the work. However bad our attempts at conversation are, however poor our presentation of the love of Jesus is, the Holy Spirit will use it. Paul's ministry was through the power of the Spirit of God. Paul takes no credit when he says he's going to be the priest to the Gentiles. He does not say, "This is me, this is me." He says, "Through the power of the Spirit of God." I think Jenny quoted John Stott once or twice last week. I find I must do the same. John Stott was a wonderful man, by the way. Anyway, physical miracles are not the only way in which the power of the Holy Spirit is displayed. Indeed, his usual way is through the Word of God, which is his sword. It is he who takes our feeble human words and confirms them with his divine power in the minds, hearts, consciences, and wills of the hearers. Every conversion is a power encounter in which the Spirit, through the gospel, rescues and regenerates sinners. It's not us doing the work. We're just helping out. The Holy Spirit is our secret weapon. Not so secret, I know, but it is the Holy Spirit that makes us holy. We're not holy ourselves. We cannot be holy in ourselves. Holy as individuals and, importantly, holy as a church community. It is the Holy Spirit that dispenses and mediates power. And it is the Holy Spirit that takes the words, I say to you, the words you say to a stranger, and makes them powerful. So welcome is important. It is really important how we encounter each other. This could be the first time, the 10th time. It is important how we encounter each other, especially how we encounter those people, or particularly, not especially, but particularly how we encounter those people on the fringes, those people who need so much to be part of a community and to see and meet Jesus. Welcome is profoundly and life-changingly important. When we welcome people here to church, we are on mission. We are on task. This is what God tells us to do. This is a command. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we are being evangelists, showing the gospel to the world. And at the same time, thank God, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is working in hearts and minds, using our feeble words and making them somehow right. So for us pathetic mortals who do not feel we have social skills, for those of us who are shy and introverted, we can rely on him. And when he says to me, do you see the lovely couple who've just come in? Come and help me talk to them. I can breathe a deep breath. I can relax. I can take a tight hold of Jesus' hand and walk over and say, hello, I'm Martin. I don't think I've met you before. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.